When Mary Pat and I started Frontline, we envisioned something like this. Where we spent quite a while in worship and then let the Lord speak to our hearts after that and walk out of here changed to change the world. Kind of like that it's coming to fruition. It's an exciting time. Noises of children everywhere. Can't beat that. Grandchildren running around. Can't beat that. Spirit children everywhere. Can't beat that. At times, it's like Moses leading the children of Israel. There's a lot of noise. We don't even have the animals bleeding and causing a ruckus. But most Sunday mornings, there's a lot of noise. What am I looking at? Oh. Father, we thank you. You're the one that's good. We're just learning from your goodness, from your greatness, from your awesome power and presence in our lives. Father, we bless your name today. We honor you today. We love what you're doing in our hearts today. We love what you're going to continue to do, Father. We listen with our spiritual ears, Holy Spirit. We allow you to open our spiritual eyes, Jesus, so that we can see new revelation and apply it to our lives. Walk it out, Father. We don't want to just be hearers of the word. We want to do the word, but do it with joy, not with drudgery. Father, we open ourselves up to you. We say, here we are. We're your child. But we're also your warrior. Turn us into your warriors, Lord, as we bow in childlikeness before your feet. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Pastor Mary Pat gives you her greetings, still from Mozambique. She's kind of like Jesus. You never know when she's going to come back. So we are waiting to see what day she will decide on. She keeps extending her time. She's up in Pemba, Mozambique, hanging out with, well, one meeting had 1,500 crazy Iris people from around the world. And She is having a hard time extracting herself to come back to us. But I'm sure this week, before the week ends, even if there are airline delays, I'm sure she'll be back to preach next Sunday. I'm sure of it. I'm almost sure of it. So we'll look forward to that time. Please give her a big hug when she returns so that she doesn't hop on a plane and go back to Mozambique. We want to thank all the people that were involved in summer celebration. Wow. This place was filled with decorations and children and people from freshly overseas and all kinds of helpers and fun galore. I walked in a couple of times and I started dancing to some of the music that the children were dancing to. And I thought, no wonder they come to these things. And thank you to all that helped out with the picnic yesterday. That was just amazing. And whoever was the person that granted permission for the balloons to launch, give that person an extra blessing. Because who knew they would come yesterday during the picnic and launch those balloons? And I know there's about 15 people, if I gave the mic out, there would be prophetic words about just the three balloons that were launched. So maybe send me an email. And I want to thank you last week for those, and it was everyone, I guess, in one way or another that participated in the foot washing. You know, the brethren that used to own this church that sold it to us, and we gave them all the money that they wanted for the church. So we don't owe on the church, the land, the place where the balloons were launched from. We don't owe on that. But anyway, we bought it from the brethren, and they were known for foot washing. Often in their services, I think they would go in the back there in that room, and they had tables set up permanently, that they would have a meal, share a meal, and they would participate in foot washing. I don't know every time, but many times. And so that was kind of renewed last Sunday, and thank you very much for humbling me once again. But I'm over the humbling, so I'm thinking that maybe we ought to do it like once a week. And we can have Carly wash and Bethany dry, and you know, you all can bless it, and we'll just kind of have a rhythm going every week. Oh boy. But very, very appreciated the words that were said, the things that people said, all the hugs, all the expressions of gratefulness. We thank the Lord for all that He's done. So I decided to come back with a challenging message. Well, actually, it must have been the Lord, because He gave me this title just out of the blue. And I think it was one of the reasons Pastor Mary Pat didn't return, because she'd be preaching this morning, and she heard I already had a message, and so she said, "See? The Lord is speaking that I should stay in Mozambique." I want you to know that if you know just two letters out of the alphabet and you apply them to your Christian life, you will be set for a long, long time. Those letters are P and C. There are so many words in the Bible that if we just did the P's and C's, we would be like soaring in the Spirit all the time. Just listen to some of the P's. This is just amazing. I don't even, you know, I know I haven't covered them all, so you can email those to me rather than speaking them out in our short time afterwards. Priority, popularity, process, positive, polite, protege. Some are in the Bible, some are just alluded to. Prayer, protection, privilege, protocol, perseverance, parent or parenting, persecution, pioneer, peril, promise, prophetic, perspective, power, presence, preparation, position, practice, preach, price, promotion, Paul, Peter. There are so many words that challenge us out of that list, either positively or negatively. So this morning, with that in mind, and there's C words too, and you can come up with your list of those. But with that in mind, the Lord seemed to download to me that I needed to speak on pay the price for promotion. Back in 2007, when we were in Brazil, it's where we met Meltari. He was at a missions conference there speaking, and we were there to serve and maybe do a little bit of speaking, a little bit of leading out into the favela, the slum there, to lead evangelism with some people who were being trained to be missionaries. And so we met Mel, we went to lunch at a little pizza place, or we walked to it, which impressed me to begin with. I thought I was the only person that kind of walked and skipped, but he walks and skips with cowboy boots. And so we walked and skipped out of the favela area into a pretty nice area of the city and went to a pizza shop, and we ate pizza outside. And we just thought it'd be a nice, you know, meet him. I met him on the way from the airport. I sat in the back seat as he and Pastor Gersale were in the front seat. And Pastor Gersale loves to pay attention to the person that he is driving from the airport. So he, in Sao Paulo traffic, 20 million people in Sao Paulo, in Sao Paulo traffic in this little can of a car, Pastor Gersale is looking over at Mel Tari and having a conversation while he's driving. And he knows a little bit of English, and so every time that he almost cut somebody off or somebody almost ran into him, he would say, "Oh, sorry, 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 sorry." And I'm in the back seat going, "Yeah, yeah, sorry. How about, you know, hey, you know, we can talk to Mel when we get there." And Mel turned around to me and said, "Who are you?" Said, "Guy from Ohio. You know, I'm a pastor in Ohio." "Oh, well, you know, it's the name of your ministry." Said, "Frontline? Oh, good name." And he turned around, talked to Gersale. We went through the traffic and so on. Well, later on, we invited him to lunch, and we had heard that he wanted to meet with us for lunch anyway, so went to the pizza shop. And we're there probably 5 minutes. We're making sure he's all taken care of. You know, we want to, you know, see Mel Tari. We knew the name. We knew some of his books. But, you know, what's he like just talking fluff, just talking life? You know, hey, how many kids do you have? And, you know, all that kind of thing back and forth. That's what we thought we'd get to. But after about 5 minutes of just settling in with the pizza, he says, "You have paid the price. God wants to give you Brazil." I'm like, "Could I have my second bite of pizza first before I'm supposed to take Brazil?" And I just blurted out, "How do you know me? How do you know that I've paid the price, that I could take Brazil? How do you know me?" And, you know, instead of one of those spiritual answers like, "Well, I know you in the spirit, brother, because Jesus has shown me," he just said, "You know, I just know your heart. I know you." And he's looking at me. You know, he should have been looking at Pastor Mary Pat, and he's looking at me. At that same conference, Heidi Baker came and spoke. And she's speaking, and she has to make a plane, and so she's telling everyone, I really, you know, this is it, I'm praying for you, kind of as a group, I won't have the time to pray for each one of you. And I thought, okay, we'll see, because she can't help it. She just wants to bless people. And so she's walking out of the place, and I've seen her many times. She'll be praying for people, and then out of our ministry, she'll go right to Pastor Mary Pat and start praying for her. And, you know, Mary Pat reacts, and she's on the floor as Heidi walks out of the building or whatever. And so I thought, well, you know, she might pray for Pastor Mary Pat, because she, anytime she sees her, she seems to be like a magnet and pray for her. So she's on her way out. She's kind of saying her goodbyes as people are still affected by the presence of God in the meeting. And she's walking out, and suddenly she veers over and starts praying for me. And she starts saying, "You're going to be swimming among the sharks in the deep end. You're going to be in the deep end of the pool. And it's going to be the dark, dark end. You're going to go, you know, where the sharks are." And you're going to go, "Thanks, Lichy. Hey, I know some pretty positive things you could pray. Less challenging things you could pray." Well, I thought it was about going to Africa, going to Asia. going further into Brazil, facing, ministry challenges overseas. And lo and behold, some of those sharks have been locally. Some of those parts of the deep end have been right here in Ohio, right here in this area. Because of paying the price, the pain of the price goes on. If you decide to pioneer and do something a little bit new, a little bit different, for instance, right about now, there are people pulling out of parking lots all over Stark County, going home from church services, and we're just getting started. It's like, how did that develop? There are things that have been pioneered here that we just say, Holy Spirit, how'd you bring us to that point? How did that happen? How did people even want to pay the price to stay the extra hour, hour and a half on a Sunday instead of going to lunch on time? Why are they that hungry? Why do they love the word that much, or the presence of God? In fact, when we release people from here, you would think they would run out the door to their cars, start them up real quick so nobody talk to them, and drive as fast as they could, throwing all the gravel, because it's nice big gravel, throwing all the gravel, all over the parking lot as they zoom to lunch. But instead, people are here at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, hanging out. Were you going to go to lunch? Yeah, we'll go. We'll get there. And in a lot of places, the pastors run out of the building first. They have secret passageways, tunnels underneath the church. You'll see them in a line sometimes, and they're, shaking hands, and they suddenly disappear. Like Penn and Teller is in the room, and they just go, and they're gone. And yet, sometimes, if we drive in the same car, I don't leave till 5 o'clock because Pastor Mary Pat's praying over one last person. Cast down that voice in Jesus' name. So in talking with Militari in Brazil and afterwards when he visited here, and then looking at what Heidi said, I was the only person she prayed over and she went out the door. I hadn't realized I'd paid a price that much. And yet, there is a price to pay. And as I went over some of the things, it was like, yeah, but God, you gave me the grace for that. Is that paying a price? Sure it is, in his eyes. But you gave me mercy in abundance. You healed up my hurts. In abundance. Is that really paying the price? Yes, it is. He gives you credit. He gives you everything you need for life and godliness and then gives you credit and reward. Wow. That's an amazing God to fall in love with for a lifetime. I was thinking about what I shared at People's Baptist Church, which was a rowdy good time. And I hope to get the mission team people and anyone that didn't get to go over there, I hope we can soon do something again. Because it was a rowdy good time. But I shared my testimony about a portion of my life that was very challenging, the biggest challenge I probably have ever faced in my life, and how God got me through that. But one of the things I didn't mention was that part of it was I humbled my heart to the very person that I felt was throwing me out of her life. And I asked her forgiveness on a number of occasions. I repented of things I could think of to her, even though I was the one being thrown out of the marriage. Because we're responsible for our part. That's part of paying the price. And if you think, well, someone's hurt me, I know I've done stuff against them, but they've done more. So I don't have to say, I'm sorry, or please forgive me. That's wrong, wrong, wrong. Because we're trying to please a holy God who does nothing wrong. I was thinking about it just a day or so ago. Jesus was never sick. Think about that. We know he prayed for the sick, but did you ever think it? Think about it. Jesus was never sick. Never had a cold. No allergies. No diabetes. Nothing. Think about having him in your family. Always the one ministering to the ones that were sick so they'd get better, but he didn't need any. No vaccinations when he was 5 years old, ready to go to a Jewish school. So he didn't have to ask for forgiveness. He never sinned. But we do, whether we've been sinned against or not. And it's what paying that price is what helps everything in life. So many people go through life hugging their hurt and pain. What are you doing that for? Hurt and pain is supposed to be cast on Jesus to heal it up. Lay the burdens at his feet. Let him take the heavy side of the yoke. We're not wired for burdens. We're not wired to carry burdens. We're supposed to give those to him. The pains that people cause us, we don't attribute to God because he's always there grieving over anyone sinning against us about them and about us. But he can heal us of anything. He can heal the hurt of anything in our life. So why wrap ourselves around pain? Why embrace the very hurts and carry them? Pay the price. Give them to Jesus. Because otherwise they become your very good friends and they come off your lips to everyone you meet. Oh, I would serve Jesus more, but that pastor hurt me at the last church I was at 25 years ago. And I haven't gotten over it. That spouse did this to me, and that mother and father, they did this to me, and that uncle did this, and so on. Serious things? Yes. Can they be healed by Jesus, though? Absolutely. Then you're free. You're free. See, some of the price being paid when you follow Jesus is well, well worth it. And you find out that there's a higher price if you're not willing to count the cost and pay the price. One thing I wanted to say about prophetic words and promises is that they're conditional. Some people think, well, if I get a prophetic word or a promise, I'll try to pay as little price as possible to reach that and let God fulfill it in my life, and that'll be great. The reason he gave it to me was so I don't have to, you know, pay so much price. And it's the exact opposite. If he gives you a prophetic word that's just out of this world, like you're going to be part of taking Brazil, there's a price that's going to be paid for that. If it's just for you, his prophetic word is, I'm going to make you a person that's so dynamic in the body of Christ, in a local body, that people will be drawn to you everywhere you go like they were drawn to me, Jesus. And so if you go over in the corner, they come get you. You have no free time. You can't even get a drink. Can't get your coffee. Because people are drawn to you. Now, at first, that sounds pretty exciting. Oh, they want to hear what I have to say. They're going to trust that I have some maturity to give them help, to give them counsel and advice. But like Jesus, he had to trudge the weary road, and then he had people all around him pulling at him, you know, wanting his attention, pulled in several different directions. And I can tell you, he was the only one to handle it with perfect grace. I'll come over here and heal a woman that's had a bleeding problem for 12 years, and I will let someone die over here because I can also meet that problem. And I don't listen to all the voices calling out to me. What are you doing? We got to go. We got to get going here. We got to get. You know how many times the disciples pulled on him? Many, many times. Hey, this is a Samaritan woman. Let's, let's go. You're not supposed to be talking to her. The blind man calls out, Jesus, Son of David. And they're going, shh, quiet. And Jesus is saying, bring him to me. Oh, yeah, come. Jesus wants to see you. You know, first they're kind of like, shh, quiet. And then Jesus says, I'd like to see that man. Oh, special guest, yes. The disciples had to learn how to pay the price. They eventually did pay the price, didn't they? 10 out of the 12 were martyrs, as far as we know, according to history. If you take out Judas, that's 10 out of 11. Only the Apostle John, who had to have the great revelation of revelation on the island of Patmos, was able to die a natural death. If you add Paul in, then you have, 11 out of 12? Died a martyr's death. There's a price to pay. And it doesn't mean that everybody in here will die a martyr's death. But Paul says, I die daily. I die daily. Some of those deaths are much longer, aren't they? All life long, I die daily. That's 365 and a quarter days every year you have to die. Why not just die a martyr's death? Then it's a boom, and into glory, and you're with Jesus, and singing with the angels. Oh, yeah. You're in the choir. So some of you have been looking at this the wrong way. We're paying the price. Dying daily. It'd be much easier to die quickly and be given credit for being a martyr. So those who want to sign up for martyrs class, maybe we'll teach that this fall. It'll be very short. Find someone that really doesn't like Christians and offer yourself to minister to them. Let's take a look at Psalm 103. Back to, there's prophetic words are conditional, promises are conditional. Let's take a look at Psalm 103 just as an example of a promise that's conditional. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. That's the way I felt out playing volleyball yesterday. Like an eagle, soaring above the net. Well, not exactly. The Lord performs righteous deeds in judgment for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the son of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. Now, if you were smart, you would end this psalm right here. And, you know, cut off some of the rest. Because the psalms are like that. They give you the good stuff. It's like, here it is. A beautiful promise. A beautiful passage filled with promises. But if you look carefully, there's a price to pay. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. Okay, maybe we'll add a few verses, but you know. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, not rewarded us according to our iniquities. Okay, we'll add that one. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. Now you could go by that really quick. Here starts the paying the price. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. Those who fear him. So when we're talking, you know, we've talked in past years a lot about the Father's love. And I used to speak on that a lot. But I was always giving some of the conditions to really activating that in your life, but some people just completely missed it. And they just said, oh, the Father loves me no matter what I do. He'll love me to the maximum. It's just a love affair between me and the Father. Well, yes, it is. But there's an if. He loves you positionally, perfectly. But experientially, you'll never experience his love to the depth that you can without fearing him, without paying the price of having him in awe. Yes, he wants to be so close that he's a father, but that doesn't change that he is almighty, holy, mighty, mighty, mighty God. So we can't just take part of who he is and say, wow, I like that, lavish it on me, and come up with, wow, India just fell. In Jesus' name, may all the temples in India fall. If they're not connected with you. Most beautiful temples in India are the Christians, not the buildings. Okay, I'm going far afield. As far, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Case in point. Father loves us so much. He wants his best for us. He wants the best spouse for us, the best life partner. He wants the best relationship we can have with leadership in the body of Christ. He wants people to be in unity and enjoy that. He wants them to enjoy his presence to the maximum. But there's a little tag on the end, and that is, in order to do that to the maximum, we have to fear him, revere him, bend our knee to him, let him lead the way. Let him guide to the promised land. What happened when the people decided they knew the way to the promised land? Circle, circle, circle. Yeah, we know the way. We know the way. We know it. Moses, if you just stay out of this, we'd get to the prom. 40 years of going in circles. Some say for a 2-week trip. Not a 3-hour tour, but a 2-week trip. Wow. And they wouldn't listen, even though things were falling out of the sky, all their needs were being met, water coming out of a rock, birds falling out of the sky. Wow. It's It's because they would not fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes when the wind is passed over it. It is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. Now, back when we talked about the Father's love a lot, we said you're going to love his word. That's if you fear him and if you value the word. It doesn't come automatically. You have to love him so much you want to hear what he says. You want to hear his conversations. You want to hear his words. You want to see his dreams and visions and pictures. You want to. You desire it. You're hungry for it. But they don't just come to any nonchalant, normal Christian necessarily. He can, by his grace and mercy, give us something when we're not even that hungry. Praise God. But to those that are hungry, oh man, you're in a constant communication with Holy Spirit if you want to be. It's like you tune into his radio station and you're going to be hearing what he has to say to you in a variety of ways. How many have ever had a dream from God? You knew it was from God. How many have ever had a vision? You knew it was from God. How many have ever heard the still small voice of the Lord? How many have ever gotten something out of scripture that just threw you for a loop? How many have had a smell that you knew was from heaven and not here from earth? How many have had things flash in front of your eyes and the Lord said, that's an angel. I just gave you a little glimpse. I mean, you say this in some places and they go, oh, that's what you're looking for. No, we're not looking for that here. We're looking for the source of all those wonderful things. And we're willing to explore it and see what he wants to do with those things in our lives. But we want the source. We want the presence of God. We want the power that he has for us to live out what he's given to us as a mission. To those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. Now, when I say that, I smile. These are good things, fun things, when you get into it, when you're hungry. Many places, you must obey. And they have, their face goes down instead of happy, enjoyable. This is joy to obey. This is the best life you can have. This is the abundant life, the eternal life, the changed life you've been looking for. This is everlasting life now. Woo! Why is your face going down? I know you're going to have trouble with this. Obey! If you fall in love, you don't. If you fall in love, you don't have a hard time obeying. Oh, you'll have the discussions with God, but you're kind of giggling on your side going, I know I'm going to lose this one. And it's probably a good thing I do. Because every time I've lost, I've gained. Every time I've died, I've had new life. Paul says I die daily, but he's the one that keeps talking about everlasting life, eternal life, all these kinds of things. Changed life. I'm never going to end this passage. Let's see. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Can you see the angels frowning when God says, I want you to go over here and I want you to go over there? Are they going to be frowning? They're like, just tell me where to go. They can't wait. Just speak it, Lord. I just want to hear your voice. Oh, go help the people that aren't listening. They're talking with one another on their cell phones. Go help them. And your cell phone falls on the floor and you go, gee, I thought he had a good hold on that. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you serve him, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So it kind of starts out really nice, really all these wonderful promises. In the middle, pay the price. And then it ends up with, bless the Lord, you paid the price. Bless the Lord, you're paying the price. I don't know how many people over the years have come to one of our leaders with a better idea. It's going to change everything. Some of them are 3 months old in the Lord. They've got an idea. But you know why we listen? Because the Holy Spirit can actually speak through somebody 3 months old in the Lord with a great idea from God. So we listen. But to tell you the truth, most of the ideas are kind of like, okay, thank you for bringing that. We appreciate it. Thank you. And they could be hurt because we don't institute their idea right away. You know, maybe like, hey, it's such a free place around here. Why don't we bring beach balls in and bounce them around while worship is going on? It's so free. Well, we did during summer celebration, I think a little bit of that. And who knows, we might do that sometime. Might be a good idea for another time. There's a difference when we pay the price between people's roles in the body of Christ. Some of you have wanted my job. And let me tell you, you don't. Others of you don't want my job. And God's going to be laughing because he's going to give you your own big challenge. So you want to pay the price for what God's destiny is for you. So what does that do for us in the body? We can honor each other. No matter what destiny each of us has, we can honor. Your honor to me last Sunday was humbling, but also proper. That's kind of hard for me to say. But if you read through the New Testament, listen to what Paul says about himself. We have to know who we are. We have to know what God has done in our lives, or we'll hold back from giving anything to you because we'll say, well, you know, that wouldn't be humble to do that. I want you to soar so high that you soar past Pastor Mary Pat and myself. In order to do that, I have to let you know about the story of our lives, the story of what God has done in our lives at times. And that's a little bit revealing. Like the whole thing at People's Baptist. People came up from People's Baptist giving me hugs. People that were wondering what we were doing there, you know, giving me this kind of an eye when we first got there. And then I preached, and they're hugging me. Like big hugs. Not like one of these, like, little, that was very nice, Pastor Bill. It was like, whoompa! And I'm thinking, they have maybe not heard transparency before, at times. A heart story reaches a heart of a person, and they can't help it. They love it. It just speaks to them. That's why Jesus just revealed everything about the Father to us. And we just are drawn to Jesus when we really love him. Because he was so transparent. And when people gave him worship, he didn't say, oh, stop that, I don't deserve it. He did stop them at certain points, because if he didn't, maybe the whole earth would follow that example and start worshiping him before he was able to really redeem the earth. There's a timing for everything. Worshiping Jesus as a redeemed person is much more intense. Worshiping Jesus as a person that fears the Lord, willing to pay any price for him, is wholly different than worship from just a nominal believer or someone that thinks they are a believer. In order to reach your destiny, there's no shortcuts. You have to pay the price that you're to pay, just like Jesus had to go to the cross. No shortcuts. He had to do that. One of the reasons he had to do that, because it was the only way that we could have our temple cleaned up enough for the Holy Spirit. You can't clean up your own temple to make a way for God to dwell there. You can seek him, you can go after him, but you need his power on the inside to come alive. And the only way to provide a place that was clean enough for Holy Spirit to dwell was for Jesus to die, us to receive his sacrifice, then the Holy Spirit's packing his bags to move into your life. He can't wait to set up shop inside of you, arrange the furniture, make himself at home, and make you way powerful. I love that. Jesus paid the price so that could happen inside of me. You have a price to pay for others in this room and beyond this room to go higher in the Spirit, to go after Jesus with more love. Are you willing to pay that price, no matter what it is, to see that happen? Take responsibility for the lives that you're supposed to affect. Are you going to do that? And many of you are. And others will join you. You're supposed to have an impact on the world. And it takes paying the price to do that. It starts with humility, doesn't it? James 4, 6, and 7. If you want to turn there, just be humbled for a while here. Turn to James. Every time I think of this passage, I think, James is such a small book. They could have left it out. Chapter 4, starting in verse 6, but he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. How do you get exalted? How do you get promoted? You say, I always wanted to have a ministry, or I want to be such a powerful minister in the marketplace. Someone should recognize the giftings I have. That's what should happen. And the exact opposite is the way to get there. Recognize the giftings you have and humble yourself before the Lord. And what does it say he'll do? He'll exalt you. Other passages say he'll exalt you in due time. Some of you are headed towards your prophetic destiny. And you say, why is it taking so long? One of the things in my prophetic destiny is to write. And I've hardly gotten started on that. What's that mean? It's coming. But I certainly haven't found the time for it. So do I just say, well, it's not part of my prophetic destiny. I don't see it. Or do I say, it's coming. I don't know how. I don't know when. But the grace is going to be there when it's supposed to be there. And it's not so I can sell a book here at church or go to conferences and promote my book. By the time I write it, I'll have the right heart in every way that it'll be a blessing to the body of Christ, just like all those books that are promoted say they want to be. And then they charge you $20 each. I don't know how they can charge $20 each for something that's supposed to bless a whole lot of people, because people just, you know, pass their copy to somebody else when it's that price, but that's just a side note. I think Rachel agrees with me, but we'll see. Humble ourselves and will exalt us in the proper time. Starts with humility. That's the preparation for paying the price, for the promotion. And repentance, Acts 3:19 says, repent and return. So there'll be times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. Why do we run so far from repentance when refreshing is right on its heels? Lord, I have messed up. And you feel this kind of like, I love you though. I'm going to use your life. Yeah, but God, I really screwed up. Oh, I know that, but the blood of my son covered it. Jesus has that all under control. He's going to make up the difference. But Lord, I feel so bad about it. Quit beating yourself up, get off the floor, and go make a difference in someone's life. It's refreshing to repent. Look what happened to Peter. He started with remorse and ended up with repentance. Judas started with remorse and ended with remorse. And he hung himself. Which one are you going to do? Which one am I going to do? We better go the full route of repentance. Remorse just says, sorry. Sorry, God. Sorry, person I offended. Sorry, person I've hurt. Sorry. Sorry. You know, sorry. And then give a list of excuses. Repentance. You say, Lord, I did this. It's my fault. Maybe you have to go to another person. Please forgive me. You meet with them in person. No texting, no Facebook, no emails. Meet with them in person, eyeball to eyeball, and tell them, please forgive me. If I've offended you, please forgive me. If I've hurt you, please forgive me. And God brings in refreshing to relationships. That brings more unity in the body. That brings more unity between you and another person. And they could end up being one of your best friends. And yet, often we run from repentance. It's so painful. Well, what is painful? Paying the price is painful at times. But that's what gets you to your destiny. Painful steps that are good painful, joyful painful, smiling painful. This is so good for me, I'm going to take my medicine. Cod liver oil. Whoa, let's go. That's what repentance feels like at times, asking for forgiveness at times, but so essential to paying the price. So that's part of the preparation. And then James 1:12, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Perseverance. I was out in the yard yesterday with a few of the grandkids. I have 9 now. 8 natural and 1 adopted. And the one adopted, I think she could take them all on. Haven't met her in person yet, but she's going to be on the mission field. She's going to be on the mission field. Anyway, out in the yard with a few of the grandkids, and I have a metal detector that I bring out. Some of you saw the one that I had here was a small one, and it didn't work the day I tried it in my message. But the big one works all the time. So I'd taken Judah out before, and some of the other grandkids I hadn't taken out. So I went out in the yard, and I threw out a bunch of coins in the shaded parts of the yard yesterday. Throwing coins out. And then I took the grandkids out, and they took turns. always a good thing to learn, took turns between the grandchildren, you know, detecting the coins. And when they got one, they got to put it in a baggie. Lots of fun. But it takes perseverance. So I'm looking to see how my grandchildren are persevering in this. Which one is going to persevere to find coins, and which one is going to give up? Now, it's in the shade. I could have put them in the heat, but I put it in the shade. They're grandchildren. I love them. I gave them ice cream afterwards. But so they're out there, and I'm watching. I'm not only a physical grandfather. I'm their spiritual grandfather, I hope. And so I'm watching them and trying to encourage them. If one got frustrated, say, oh, you're doing great. Look, here, just adjust this a little bit and work it like this a little bit. And you got to kind of, you know, do this a little bit. Just try it. And they'd try it, and they'd find a couple coins. Oh. Papa knows what he's talking about. And then, you know, they wouldn't find them for a while. One or two of the grandchildren just start getting frustrated. Well, one became so frustrated, they had, like, we had rounds of doing this, you know, passing it between them, so they each had a turn finding coins, and they had their own area of coins, which was a little less competition than having the same area and them going over the same. No, it's my turn. So we had different areas of coins, and a couple of the grandchildren, they really went after their area and almost cleaned it out. And they found some big coins. You know, you don't throw the big denominations in there too much. Not because you're cheap, but because you want them to search hard for the jewels. At least that's what I told myself. So the one grandchild was having so much trouble that we said, well, we're going to, you know, go in and do something else if you want to stay out here and try it a little longer or whatever. And so watched and, you know, from the window, just kind of like, he didn't want to go in, but he wasn't finding any coins. So we just took off the headphones and threw them down and kind of dropped the instrument that he was using, hundreds of dollars worth of instrument. That's why I was watching from the window. No, I was caring about the grandchild out in the yard by himself. And so he goes and sits on the swing and starts. And I'm like, well, I hope that's all good words. Like, praise God, I don't know how to do this. Glory to Jesus, I'm having a hard time. But I couldn't hear him, so, you know, I just imagined. And finally, he gave up. He had a second round. I even told him, I put more coins out there. Because at first he told me, I want to try it harder. Make mine harder. So I made it harder. I didn't put as many coins out there. So the second round, I said, well, I'm going to throw some extra coins out there. You seem to be a little upset. Let's just practice a little more. And so upset, didn't do the second round. A couple of the grandchildren went out and did a third round. Didn't want to join them. Now, what's this tell me? And it only cost me maybe $2. It tells me I need to pray for him in the area of perseverance. I need to pray over him if I get an opportunity. I need to, you know, sow into his life to help him, because perseverance in almost everything in life, whether it's spiritual or not, is so needed. And we need to get it from God to have it maximized. From the Holy Spirit. You know, you can grit your teeth and be as strong a Christian as you want to be, and I'll beat you every time by saying, I'm weak, Jesus help me. You can strive your way to ministry and you'll burn out. If you receive from Holy Spirit, you're going to end up in more joy the longer you go. And you'll be playing volleyball with the young people. And you'll be throwing frisbee till your arm falls off. And then when you go to bed at night, you say, Jesus, I got so many hurts.
can you please heal those by morning? And you wake up and you're dancing. There are some secrets of life you might want to know about. And the Holy Spirit will reveal them to you. One of the things that when Pastor Mary Pat gets back, I'm sure we're going to have a discussion on, is something that we don't teach on that much. But I am sensing from the Holy Spirit that we're going to have to, and we need to get you fully prepared for the onslaught that's coming. And that is in the area of marriage, preparing for marriage, being in marriage, if you've lost a marriage, all that whole area. We've told you our testimonies about how God put us together after two disastrous divorces, one of hers, one of mine, married to Christians, and those marriages did not go forward. We certainly wanted them to. I didn't know her at the time. She wanted her marriage to go forward. I wanted mine to go forward. We thought forgiveness was the key. It always had been. But when deception creeps in, you can ask forgiveness all you want, and the person doesn't want to respond. In fact, they say, oh, you're just trying to get good with God. You don't really care about me. I don't ask forgiveness of someone unless I care about them. I don't run down the street, you know, to someone that I necessarily maybe cut off in traffic and, you know, chase their car down. Please forgive me. I just say, God, you know, forgive me. That was bad. How did I do that? Another dumb one. But people that are close to you, or even if you're at odds with them, God can bring you to the place that you want them to know you're asking their forgiveness for anything you've done. So that's coming. Please pray for us. We don't know what form that will take. So how do you know when you're not persevering? You quit many things before too much cost has to be paid. There are some that have taken a prophetic word and they've decided, I'm not paying the cost. Somebody is going to have to change. The body of Christ is going to have to accept me the way I am because I have a prophetic word from God. No, the body of Christ is your iron sharpening iron. They're to get the rust off. They are to get the things out of your life, the, you know, logs in your eye and all of that. That's what the body of Christ is used for. Always has been. They help mold you, make you. Leaders calling you to higher ground, charging up the hill like Jonathan, saying, come on, armor bearer, let's go take this garrison at the top of the hill. Leaders are to be there to help you, not keep you down, and not ruin your life or control your life. And so if you have that view that someone's holding me back from my destiny, it might be God, because you're not willing to humble yourself. You're not willing to persevere through some difficult things, and you have quit everything. You've just quit some things. I'm just going to quit because it's not working. Guess what? Most things don't. Most things don't. The Red Sea wasn't working. Let me tell you, it wasn't working. Wasn't working. And then, boom, the breakthrough. And they still didn't get it. Moses did. Whoa. This is great. Think of the people in the Bible who had to pay the price. Moses. But Lord, I can't talk. I stutter. The Lord says, I'll get you there. I can use Aaron to speak for you. I need you to do what I want you to do. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And it, you know, be made a fool in front of Pharaoh until the plague started. Then Moses looked like a genius. Are you willing to look like a fool for Jesus? That's paying the price. If you're in school, if it's where you work,
if it's with people that disagree with the gospel. I worked with a teacher once and she told me, do not speak about Jesus in my presence. Now, she went to a local Catholic university. She, you know, went to church. But don't talk about Jesus in my presence. By the time our relationship, you know, I haven't seen her for a few years, but by the time that relationship went on a few years, she was asking me to pray for her. I love turnaround. I love breakthrough. Can I take credit for that? Absolutely not. I'm just saying, God, how in the world? What are you going to do to turn this around? I ask him that a lot. You should ask him that a lot. What are you going to do to turn this around, God? You're gracious. You're good. You're amazing. There's this roadblock here. How are you going to get rid of this Goliath guy? How about a sling and a stone? Okay, I can step into that. It always looks like God's idea to bring the breakthrough is less than what you need. Think of Gideon. He started out with 22,000 in an army against hundreds of thousands on the other side. Well, you'd say right there, we're outnumbered. 5, 10 to 1, I don't know. Good God, thanks. All right, well, maybe I'll, you know, step up to this. You gave me a pretty good, solid prophetic word, you valiant warrior. And then God says, oh, no, no, no. We're not done. What? Carved his army down to 300. And no weapons. 300 guys without weapons. So they run down a hill towards the enemy's camp based on a word. And they smelled a little fear in the enemy's camp because they went and spied it out. And God said it would be there. The fear would be there. So they run down with what? An oil lamp? What else? Horns. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. And there's a full-out armored army down at the bottom of the hill. And they run. God is always going to make the odds in his favor, which are, I hope there's just a whole bunch against me because all I have to do is just lift my finger and they're gone. The roadblock is gone. The problem in your life is gone. So it takes that perseverance. You can't quit. You also, in order to know when you're not persevering, you need to recognize that you blame circumstances and accuse people. When you're blaming circumstance, you know, I just wasn't, you know, I didn't, my family was poor, and this was bad, and this and the other. Those are legitimate things to bring before God, no doubt. But he can turn them around. He can turn it around. Accuse people. Well, you know, my dad, he never taught me how to da-da-da-da. My mom, she didn't care for me, and we had arguments and everything. Do you know what? How many people have you heard say that? And yet, you can rise above all of it by the power of God and reach your destiny. There's no background. There's no one that can stop you when God is for you. There is no one that can stop you when God is for you. If he wants you to achieve your destiny, no one is going to stop you because he doesn't say, here's the destiny. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see the enemy hiding in the bushes with that plan to take you out. Oh, yes, he did. And he can make the enemy run by a word from you or someone praying over you. God big, enemy
wee-wee small.
God big, enemy
wee-wee small.
The enemy's done. Maybe that's what the horns were saying on the way down the hill for Gideon. The enemy's done. And they went, oh, we're done, okay. And they chased them. 300 guys chasing all these. And they wiped them out for the most part. And the third thing that would keep you from persevering is just any excuse. Any excuse I have. You think pastors don't have excuses? Oh yeah, we're experts, if we want to be. Well, you know, I ministered all day Sunday, so Monday, that should be pastor's day off. Okay, it's not official, but I mean, every pastor that I know that holds their salt, since they didn't get to rest on Sunday, they rest on Monday. A little problem with that. Monday is always filled with a whole bunch of problems and people having difficulties. Why? Because they spent time in church on Sunday. And all this stuff is stirred up inside of them. And they want an outlet. And they want to talk to somebody. They want to be ministered to. It's all stirred up inside of them. And the pastor is out playing golf on Monday. So they have to wait till Tuesday, and by then, the enemy sometimes has eaten their lunch. I'm not saying that happens with every person. Jesus is our rest, not a day of the week, not time off, not a vacation. Jesus is our Sabbath. He's our rest. If you rest on Sunday all day long, great. If you go and work like crazy on Sunday, I don't care. If you go to a baseball game tonight, watch some young lad pitch, that's fine with me. Why? Because the higher revelation is Jesus is our rest. He's our Sabbath. I remember my parents used to make us sleep on Sunday afternoon. My dad didn't even care about church or God or anything else, but he thought it was a great idea. He worked on Saturday, but Sunday typically took off, but he didn't go to church. So he thought the two rowdy boys should take a nap on Sunday afternoon at 11 and 12 years of age. So I remember, you know, being locked, basically, in the room. They didn't lock the door, but, you know, basically said, you are not going to leave. You are going to sleep in there. Well, 11 and 12-year-old boys got into problems. And I remember one Sunday afternoon, there's tornado warnings. He wouldn't let us out of the room. I think they were miles away, but that's not our rest. We didn't rest, my brother and I. You can, you know, now I wish I had a Sunday afternoon I could do that, but back then, that's not rest. Jesus is rest. So Luke 14, 25 through 33. We might have to end on this, but I can't. I have a illustration. So, okay, real quick. Luke 14. Too much joking around, not enough preaching. Okay, got it. 25. Now large crowds were going along with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes after me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. And we could go on with the other example, but we'll stick with this one. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Okay, you have enough. You have enough. You have more than enough to count the cost and pay it. Doesn't matter who you are in this room, what your background is, where you came from, whatever's happened to you in life, you have enough. So the counting of the cost as a believer is kind of easy. You say, Jesus is worth it, and I have everything I need if I want it bad enough. If I want to fear him, if I want to hunger after his heart, I have everything I need to charge up the mountain and take the garrison at the top, to charge down the hill with 300 wild guys blowing horns and showing lights, and bam, they have it. They have the victory. So you are not an exception. Sorry. Be nice if we were exceptions. Oh, well, the reason I didn't meet my destiny Jesus is because, you know, bing, bing, bong, 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 excuse, 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 excuse. There aren't any. Jesus is just too powerful. Well, I missed it. I have so many times I couldn't tell you. That's not an excuse. He can redeem it. What you've missed. Well, I married the wrong person. He can turn it around. I've got a bad, he can turn it to good. He's powerful. There are no excuses. There are no limits. Well, I don't know if he's able to lead me to the place where he is. He's able. Where have you heard that God is not omnipotent, all-powerful? Where have you heard that God is not omnipresent? Because he is. He's everywhere. All-powerful. Where have you heard that he's not omniscient? Of course you've heard he is. He knows everything. About you, about me, and he still loves us. He knows when I'm faithless. He knows when I'm too weak. And he woos me in. I have the faith for you. Why don't you come to me? Then you'll be faith-filled, faithful, just like me in this instance. And we'll have more challenges, or that will be something you have to deal with. But for this one, you're just like me. You have all the faith. Because I gave it to you, and you acted on it. Peter on the water, into the boat, made no sense. Jesus, tell me to come to you. Oh, the things that come out of our mouth. Come. And you know what happened? He came, he went so far, and then looked around. Oh my gosh, excuse, excuse, excuse. I shouldn't be on water because of this excuse and that excuse. But what did Jesus do? Yeah, you ought to drown. Sheesh. All those excuses. Yeah, floundering around a little, are you? Good lesson for you. No, he reached out. Lord, I perish. Oh, no, you don't. Right up to the level of water where he was again. Probably put his arm through Peter's arm because he didn't want Peter wandering off in his own faith. He wanted him to have the faith of Jesus and walked back to the boat. How many times have I said it? Peter has walked on water twice. Once by himself, once with Jesus. Which one was the successful one? I think you know the answer to that. And Jesus gave him everything he needed to walk on water the second time. So even those of us that get a little ahead of things,
hey,
tell me to come to you. He'll let us try it. He kind of likes that. But he's right there to catch us. And then he'll show us what faith is really like. Walk with me in these things. Quit coming up with just your own idea and leaving me out of it. Your ideas are kingdom ideas when I'm part of it. Wow. Does he like some of our ideas? Absolutely. He gave us imagination, and we can come up with some ideas that he says, that's great. He allows us to have our own ideas. That's a great one. But he'll also say, get ready, paying the cost, get thee behind me, Satan, when it's not such a great one. Are you ready for both? Are you? Sure you are. You wouldn't be here listening. You'd be long gone to lunch. So you're paying the price, paying the cost. All right, so my final point, which is not on the paper, I mean, it is, but I have so many more around it that I'd like to share. I kind of need something. We'll just grab this. This is real simple. We'll grab this. If you were 25 years old or older, maybe even a little bit younger, it would be a hideous thing for you to go around carrying this in your mouth. For a little baby, we all go, oh, could you do, oh, it's so, oh, that's so cute. Cute for a baby. For someone at this stage, this should not be in their mouth. Repulsive. Repulsive. A lot of questions come to mind. However, there is no repulsion to this. None whatsoever. Especially when Pastor Mary Pat's overseas and Carly is going to nip it right now. For my example. So, the Bible says there are too many people on the milk. Not enough people on the meat. Why is that? I say, they don't want to pay the cost for maturity. They don't want to pay the cost, the personal cost that it takes to continue consuming this. All the challenges of life are here and overcome. All the things that you want in God are right here. But so many make their excuses and stay with this in their mouth. One of the reasons we call this Frontline, I think, God gave us the idea of Frontline Ministries International. We met as a leadership, and we don't know exactly how that came about, was because we all felt we needed to be reminded, even by the name of the ministry, that we needed to move away from this and towards this, and take everyone with us that was willing to go. That was the whole idea. We started out as a Bible study for youth. We wanted them not to stay there with the good feelings of worship in our living room and, oh yeah, you know, staying up till like 3, 4 in the morning in our house just talking and everything. There was also some meat involved that people were receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were getting deep instruction in the Word. They had challenges. They had mission trips they could go on. They had times on the streets that they could go. Would they do that? Or would they just like the little fellowship group in our living room? To our joy, so many went after this and continue to do so today. How many ever attended the Bible study at our home? Some of you were not here. It's not your fault. Okay, there's quite a few here that this morning that know what I'm talking about. So the point is, you can only determine, and those you're willing to share with, whether you're just too much of this. And you ask yourself questions like this. Now, this might be challenging for all of us, including me. So you ask yourself a question like this. If I'm not here to hear a message from the person speaking on Sunday morning, and it's not always Pastor Mary Pat and myself, do I take the time, the effort to listen to it online when it's posted? Because I know it's posted online. Or do I have to be just right here in this spot at this time to hear what's spoken? Or if I'm down with the children, helping out with the children, do I take that effort to go after what God has released to the body? Now think about it. Does it make any difference that you're in one of these seats listening when you know God has released something to the body? Of course it doesn't. If he's released it, he's released it, whether you're physically there or not. But he's released it to our body. So why wouldn't I take the extra step of listening to it online? Bill, why wouldn't you take the extra step to listen to Pastor Mary Pat's releasing online? Well, Father, I hear it at home first. And afterwards, and all week long, before and afterwards. But it might have been different when she gave it to the body, even more energized and put together, and I led it by the Holy Spirit. Yes, Father, I repent. I've been a fool. Please forgive me. You see how simple that is? Why did I pick that example? So the point is, to finalize this, you could ask yourself many, many questions to see if you're moving away from this drink to chowing down on this baby. More and more and more. Because this is where the action is. This is where the testimonies come. It really is. Of overcoming. Many of these people are overcome very easily. Very little perseverance. Very little paying the cost. But because you're paying the cost over here, because you're persevering, because your prayers are energized by the Holy Spirit, because you actually believe He is God, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You're going to see this thing grow. Woo. It's not going to stay this size. It's going to be huge and fill the room. And people are going to know you walk with God because you carry around one of these puppies everywhere you go. Okay, case in point. In this one, you cannot
I don't think she'll mind me saying this. You can. When I first met Pastor Mary Pat, there was a contrast between our lives. I thought I was a super radical, sold-out believer. And then I came face-to-face with her and saw what a super radical, sold-out believer looked like. And so many of the things in her life challenged me so much, and yet I thought I had matured quite a bit in the Christian life, which, to be honest, I had, but not like this woman. And so I listened to her pray, and it was like she'd pray, and immediately heaven and earth started to move around, and things started to change, whatever she prayed. And she could just walk up to a person and just pray for them simply, and they would fall over, or they would, you know, their sickness would be healed. And I'd be like, well, yeah, I believe in healing, sure, and I believe people can be affected when they're prayed for, but I'd never seen anything quite like this. And so when we got married, me being the male, thought I should step up to my God-given responsibilities. And so she'd say, would you like to pray? And I said, no. Let's start with you. And so she would pray the lights out, you know, just heaven and earth would move. And then I would add my prayer at the end. And, you know, I'd pray a little bit sometimes, but it just didn't sound like her when she got it started. But now in these years, it's interesting how it's reversed. She'll ask me to pray, and I'll say, yes. And when I pray, the fire comes out of me. And she'll cry. She'll gyrate. She'll be affected by the prayer over her. Now, I could pray over somebody else. Nothing happens. I go out with the team to India. Andy and Michelle and Carly are praying for people. They're getting healed like that. Bam! I pray for somebody. Well, I might need a little more prayer. Many times. Maybe not all the time. But when I pray for Pastor Mary Pat, in these days, in this season, she's had things healed in her body that the enemy, of course, is trying to throw on her. We've had heavenly experiences together because I was the one who started praying. So when you read in the Bible, kind of, you know, you get the idea the male is kind of supposed to take the lead in the marriage. Spiritually, it's true. But when it's empowered by the Holy Spirit, it really works. And when the male has faith in God that he's going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, even when he's connected with a very powerful woman
in the Holy Spirit. My time has come for her. My destiny is being fulfilled. And I am affecting her life and her ministry. She would have many more physical things if God and I hadn't partnered up to pray over her with fire. He's the one that heals. I'm the one that opens my mouth. And life comes out towards my wife. What better thing to be growing in at this season of my life? What more wonderful thing? Because I've paid some price, I get the reward. Because you pay the price, you're going to get rewarded. Rewarded. And it's not a wrong word. God speaks of reward. You must believe in him and that he is a rewarder of those who did diligently seek him. You have to believe that about God or it's not faith. Oh, I believe God exists. I believe he does things for people, just not for me. Nope, sorry. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's rewarded me as I've pressed into this and learned from her all at the same time. And now when I pray over her, sometimes she's giggling so much, laughing so much. Healing comes to her emotional state, to all the things she carries from ministry, burdens for family, friends, people who are sick, on and on and on. It's part of our way to give them to Jesus because he can handle them and we can't. So you're not going to be the same when you pay the price more and more. You are paying the price. I'm calling you to a higher land of paying the price, and God will take you there. He'll provide everything you need. He'll show you the way, and you will be rewarded. You'll be a much more powerful person that can help many, many other people. So I take joy in the fact that in this season, I am the one praying over her where so much happens in her body. She's getting all the freedom that she needs after all the burdens that she carries from Jesus, but I get to be used. I love it. You're on your way, same thing. And some of you have had some of those things happen where you know God is empowering you to new heights and new things. Be willing to pay the price. Father, we thank you, God. I don't know, this just grabs my heart when I share this, Father, because you've done so much to help me. So much. I'm that Gideon shaking in front of my enemies. God, I am that person, and yet you have turned me into a valiant warrior more and more and more and more. Father, I am Moses, stuttering, making excuses, and yet you've turned me into someone else. You're doing it for so many here, God. We just bless that in them. We favor that in them. We say, yes, God, bring all they need to help them pay the price because you are worth it. You're the jewel. You're the pearl of great price. You are worth it, Jesus. You are worth it, Jesus. We bend our knee to you, but we lift our face in joy to you at the same time and say, yes, it's me. I want to pay the price. I want to get to the front of the line to pay the price. So it brings you glory. And I can experience the closeness that it brings with you. Because you reward, you give grace. You exalt those that humble themselves to pay the price. Thank you, God. We need to receive it all from your hand. We know we need you every minute to even aspire to such high heights of dying daily. We lower ourselves and you will raise us up and we will walk on water. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Bless Pastor Mary Pat in Mozambique, God, Favor her. Use her powerfully, whoever she meets today, whether it's 100 or whether it's 1. God, use her mightily in their lives. Bring her home to a safe, encouraged, energized, lifted up. And we will continue encouraging her when she gets back. Yes, God, thank you for all that she does for you, all she does for me, all she does for her children, all she does for her grandchildren. God, you have empowered her so much, and we love her example. We give you all the praise, Lord, for her life and her ministry. And we miss her, especially me. In Jesus' name, amen.